I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Episode 386. Y'all want to know what we did this past weekend?
Tell them, Carrie. Tell them.
Donna got Botox.
I got to mark something off my bingo card, y'all.
She didn't bruise as bad as I thought she would, considering she's, you know, on blood thinners.
Well, and considering I bruise on everything else, I've had one bruise on my leg for weeks. Birdie jumped on me last night and I have bruises on my knee from that.
But you just have that one little speck.
Mm-hmm. But can you tell a difference? Because I can.
No. Maybe.
It's when I raise my eye, like it's heavier. Like it just feels tighter.
Yeah.
I can't tell like a huge difference just looking, but.
No, actually, now that you say it, maybe I can.
It's a little just more smooth. Like it doesn't, it's natural looking. It's yeah. not like. Yeah. Oh, wow. Like your eyebrows are all the way up here or whatever.
No, but you do look smoother right here.
I got to put on makeup tomorrow and I'm going to see what I look like.
Not to toot my own horn, but I wasn't sure if I could get it because of my immune system issues. And I asked the lady, I was like, well, like, do you think I need a lot? Like, what do you think? Do I need it? And she was like, let me see. And she made me move my face and she said, you don't need it.
Yeah, this mother hunter. I'm like, well, load me up, doc.
So we went to Matt Aesthetics in Jackson.
Thanks to Gina.
Yes. Our good friend Gina, who we love dearly. She's like a freaking amazing human.
Y'all might know her as Blue Jay.
Yeah, yeah. If you listen to the Sinister Sightings, she sent in the story about her husband that comes to see her in the form of Blue Jays. But she hooked us up because she works in the industry selling and doing all the things. And she hooked us up with Rachel, who is the end all be all at Matt Aesthetics in Jackson, Mississippi. So if you're in the area, you definitely need to check them out because it was so good. Like, not sponsored. They are amazing.
Right. Yeah. Like, they are our people. Carly Marie is the one who did my facial. And we were talking about aliens and everything. I was like, oh, yeah. These are our people through and through.
And in traditional, Carrie and Donna are very different people. Jade did my facial, and after she asked me my skincare routine, we didn't say another fucking word.
Me and Carly Marie were talking. I said, I'm sorry, I talk a lot. She's like, no, I love it.
And I'm like, don't fucking talk to me. I'm relaxing. But Jade, who did my facial, told Rachel, the nurse practitioner who did Donna's Botox, she was like, she didn't even get under the cover. Because when I walked in, I was like, you know, got ready for it. And when she came, I was like, so I'm not going to get in the cover because I'm really hot natured. And she's like, okay, if you, like, I'm going to turn on some steam, but if it's too much, just let me know. And the steam was going. I was like, if you don't need it for the facial, can we turn it off? I was like, but if you need it for the facial, like, by all means, leave that. I will make do. But if it is just to be comfortable, I am not.
Man, I love the facial steamer.
No, fuck that shit. I am hot enough. I've got steam coming off my forehead just merely existing. I don't need a fucking extra thing making me happen.
Now, I will say, on this one, I didn't have the table warmer on, but like when I get my massage, I do have it on.
Yeah, well, then they had it. I just definitely didn't want it. I was so thankful it wasn't on.
But seriously, it was amazing. Gina made it extra special and amazing.
Oh, my God. Well, because Gina's birthday is coming up, too. And so she freaking got us each a tumbler that says, it's my birthday, bitches. And she got champagne and non-alcoholic champagne for Donna.
Yeah. And you know what the price was? I think it was 69 cents.
63.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I thought it was 69. Of course, my brain goes there.
That's because nobody buys that shit except Donna.
You know, it was great. But she's so thoughtful. And they were, too. Like, they let us ask questions. They let us sit in there with Gina while she got her treatment. She talked to Carrie, Rachel did, about like lip flips and stuff. And just like, didn't have to do that. Could have just been like, come back and we'll do an assessment kind of thing.
Yeah.
But she really took the time to talk to us.
And she, I cracked up. Tell them what she said when you made the face to show your 11s.
Oh, yeah. My 11s that are like right at the bridge of your nose. Not the bridge of your nose, but like the, like between your eyebrows.
Yeah.
Like the, when you're like, what the fuck kind of look? When I did that, she said, oh, your 11s are 12-ing.
Mine were 10-ing. I'm just kidding.
Yours were negative.
Yeah, I don't even have them.
This mother hunter.
Oh my God, though. Y'all, and in a true Donna form, she, when Donna laughed, Rachel was like, well, okay, you know, there's these things called bunny lines that are like on the bridge of your nose. And she was like, some people don't like them. Do you want me to hit those? We didn't know what she was talking about. And I was like, she said, well, it's when you're laughing like really hard. And I was like, Donna, laugh. Well, I like had her camera on her because so she could see what the lines looked like. And I was like, Donna, laugh really hard. And that bitch can just make herself laugh so hard at the drop of a hat. Rachel was like, I'm impressed you can do that. I said, give her a minute. She'll start crying. If we just keep her going, she'll eventually start crying.
Oh, oh, absolutely.
Donna cannot handle emotions.
I really can't. Really cannot.
And then we went to this Mexican restaurant after that. That guacamole was so good.
That everything was so good.
I had one espresso martini and was tipsy.
I don't know what she said, but she was like, I'm drunk or something. Like, I'm feeling it. I love tipsy Carrie.
Sometimes.
Not drunk Carrie. Tipsy Carrie.
Okay. But for real, thank y'all so much at Mad Aesthetics. Y'all really do have to check it out if you're in the Jackson, Madison area. Or, well, we drove 2 hours to go. And thank you so much, Gina, for literally making Donna's little 40-year-old dreams come true.
Absolutely. Like, I'm so excited. That was on my bingo card. I didn't know if I was ever going to do it. And I got it. And I think I'm hooked. So I'll probably be driving 2 hours. Like, Gina's going back, and I was like, well, we're going to come back too.
No, it was really good. I would drive that to go get another facial with Jade. And I liked the beds because they were like kind of propped up at an angle versus lying completely flat. Because yes. Lying flat makes my back hurt. And when I saw the bed, I was like, hell yeah.
So mine was just flat at first, and then she changed it to be like that. And I was like, again, they're just so thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
And even just like putting the garment on to cover, she's like, you can just lay it on you. You don't have to like wrap it all up. And, you know, I don't know about you since, you know, you were willy-nilly with the covers, but.
Girl, I had on the perfect little, like, I had like a tennis dress, even though I don't play tennis. So all I had to do was roll down my little things and my bra and boom. Bada bing, bada boom, I was there and no cover.
She said, you don't have to take off your bra. You can just put the straps down. Girl, I was like, taking this shit off. No. But yeah, I liked them. They were very accommodating to people of size. And yeah, I didn't feel anything because I was like, I got a big head because she put the thing on to like protect your hair from all this stuff. I said, I don't think it's going to stay on. She was like, no, I have a big head too. I was like, no, no, I have a big one. She was like, no, my boyfriend has a big head too. I was like, no, no, just you wait. And she said that sometimes hers will like roll up. And I was like, that's what it's going to do, especially if I talk. It's like Colby's hat.
Of course you talk.
But you know, like when he's eating and we can see his hat like move up and down, that's the thing on me. And luckily it didn't, but I swear to God, if it had a personality, it was hating me, being like, this motherfucker. Because, whew, but it was really great. Everyone was just so accommodating.
Mm-hmm.
They let us come in and we basically manspread all over their place. We had like me and Carrie's water tumblers everywhere. We had cookies. We had all the things and they were just so welcoming.
Yeah, Gina bought us treats and pastries and a thing. I mean, we just had a good old time.
Gina was our sugar mama and I can tell you, I could be a sugar baby.
We all knew that you could.
I'm just a baby. But speaking of that, I'm actually not a baby unless I'm Benjamin fucking Button because I'll be 40. When you hear this, I'm already 40.
She turns 40 tomorrow. So we'll tell you all about her 40th birthday shenanigans next week.
But if you want to see my Botox, you could sign up for Patreon.
Or
go to the cruise.
Everybody that has already signed up for the cruise got their 90-day out text email thing that was like, hey, the cruise is 90 days out. Be looking for your email with like the lineup and the times and all of that of the events. And I'm getting so excited. Colby and Chris are coming now. That happened this week.
Oh, and we didn't know this. We thought we were just going to be part of a game show. But we're actually going to have a live show there, too.
Yeah, we get an hour live show. So I'm super excited about that.
Yes.
And there's other people coming, like...
Scared to Death.
Last Podcast on the Left, Side Stories.
Sinisterhood.
Real Housewives of True Crime.
and true crime campfire tales.
Yeah, so it's going to be a really good time. So if you want to come to that, you go to crimewaveatsea.com/creep, and you'll get your like code thing to look at it and see what rooms are available, because rooms are selling out.
Yeah, and I love that it'll be like, they vanished.
Yes, like it's like, instead of being like sold out, they put like a cute true crimey like gone to the evidence locker. I don't know. That's all I can think of. That was way more clever than that.
You know, the devil's in the details, and I love those little touches.
Yes. Well, before we get into my story, we have to talk about Select Quote. So you know that part in horror movies where the character's like, I'll be fine, right before they walk into this creepy-ass basement? That's how a lot of people are with life insurance. They're like, oh, I'm covered through work. But plot twist, if you get laid off, that coverage can disappear faster than a ghost in the daylight.
And honestly, we all know that it's hard out there to keep a job, to get a job and all the things. So you can't bank on that job for your life insurance.
That's why you got to go to SelectQuote. Because here's the thing. They actually work for you. In just 15 minutes, a licensed agent can compare policies from top-rated carriers to find the best fit for your health and your budget. And it's free.
Plus, if you've got stuff like high blood pressure, diabetes, or heart disease, things that might make other companies run for the hills, SelectQuote has partners with policies made for pre-existing conditions. So you can still get the protection you deserve. And I know that that's something I've always been scared about with me, because I do have high blood pressure. And then my dad had pre-existing conditions. My mom had pre-existing conditions. And when we looked at different insurances, they did not take us for those reasons. I wish I knew about SelectQuote then.
And you know, we joke because we've both are the freaking typhoid Marys of any friend group. We catch everything. So the fact that SelectQuote can find us a policy, pretty darn impressive. And they can even hook you up with same day coverage, up to $2 million without a medical exam. No needles, no awkward gowns, no cold stethoscopes. I mean, unless you were into it, maybe you want to do some role play.
And SelectQuote has been doing this for over 40 years. So just a little bit longer than I've been alive. And they've helped more than 2 million Americans secure over $700 billion in coverage. They shop and you save.
Life insurance is never cheaper than it is today. So why wait for another scary twist in life's script? Get the right life insurance for you for less and save more than 50% at selectquote.com/creep.
That is selectquote.com/creep. Save more than 50% on term life insurance today.
And sleep a little easier knowing that your future and the people you love are covered. Okay, my story this week is one of those that I'm laying in bed. My girl is on the TV.
Paula's on.
God, I love that bitch.
Paula's on is on.
Okay. Yes. I love her hair. Her makeup is always beautiful, but her, she has the best damn head of hair. And I love the way she talks.
Oh, God. Can you be Paula's on for Halloween?
Girl, I can't do my hair like that. But Paula's on. Colby's watching golf or whatever season it is. I don't know if it's hunting season, whatever. My eyes are closed and I open one eye and I say, can you text me Michelle Castillo? Because I could not go to sleep. I had to finish that damn episode. Did I watch it? No. Did I listen? Sure did. But I could just picture Paula Zahn's beautiful hair.
You kind of gave me stalker vibes there.
She is my favorite migraine TV. Like, I like to have the TV on when I'm taking, like when I go to bed with a migraine. Not too loud. Just on. That is the best show to have on.
I thought you said my green TV.
No, migraine.
And I was like, what is that?
Yeah, I got to have it really cold, really dark, but TV on.
And that's new because in college.
Yes, yeah, in college, no TV.
This girl was shaking her head like, no, it's not. Bitch, I was sitting there in the dark, not moving a fucking muscle, being like, can't make Carrie upset. She's got a bad headache, you know, a migraine. And this bitch is going to be like, nuh-uh.
No, you're right. You're right. Mm-hmm. But then as I got older, I liked the TV on. I would often put my Golden Girls DVDs on.
What are you doing? A memoir? I would often put my Golden Girls.
No, I didn't say often because you're a serial killer that pronounces the T. I said often.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like a normal person.
Okay. Normal. Owl, and owl.
What'd that hoot owl do to you? Okay, so we're going to Ashburn, Virginia, which is like right outside of Washington, D.C. Michelle Castillo is a young mother of five, and she was living her life. She had a great relationship with her kids. She was really involved in her community. Like, she did a lot of volunteering for, like, people who were unhoused. She was really involved in her church. And this woman had just qualified for the Boston Marathon.
Holy shit.
She a runner, she a track star. She and her husband, Bralgo, got married in 1994. They adopted two kids and then had three biological kids. And together, they had created this tech, like, computer tech firm. And she helped him with it. Like, I think it was as much, like, she stayed home with the kids, but I think she was really involved in the firm at one point. But in March of 2014, Michelle had four of her five kids still living at home, and they were all under the age of 12.
Oh, hell no.
And on March 20th, the kids woke up to get ready for school, but their mom didn't wake them up. And that's very unusual because Michelle really doted on her kids and was there in the morning, woke them up, fixed them breakfast, did all the things, and they woke up for school and, wait, Michelle didn't wake them up. So they go to look for her and they can't find her. So they start looking through the house and eventually they get to her room and they hear her shower running in her bathroom. So they do what kids do. They go into the bathroom to see what she's doing in there.
Where's my breakfast?
And when they open the shower, it's running, but she's not there. So they're freaking out and they call their dad and he calls the neighbor and they both, like him and the neighbor, get there to kind of check things out.
That's like every scary movie thing.
Yes.
Like someone's in the house or you hear something, you can't find someone and like the water's running and she's not in the shower.
Well, and they're kind of also like, okay, well, is she out running because she's training for the Boston Marathon? And like, did she maybe get hurt while she's running or to get, I don't know, fucking lost? I don't know. But then they're like, well, she wouldn't have gone running while the kids were at the house asleep. Like, she wouldn't have done that. So the neighbor waits for help and Braulio takes the kids to school because he's like, let's take them. Let's get them out. We don't know what's going on. Like, let me just take them, kind of keep some normalcy so they don't get super worried.
Do you know how worried I would be at school?
Yes.
And I'd be telling everybody.
Well, and I think you just kind of make the best decision that you can in the moment.
Oh, like, yeah. I mean, like, that's the right thing to do is to put them in school. Like, one, because you don't know what you're going to find.
Right.
And you don't want them there if, you know, you find something that's going to stay with them forever.
Exactly. Well, remember how I told you that only four of her five kids were living there? That's because her oldest son, Nick, is in college. And he's at school and he gets a Facebook message from a neighbor that's like, hey, your dad came by looking for your mom. You know where she is? And he's like, wait, what? No, wait, what? Because again, he's not at home. And he's like, this is weird. She would, again, not have left those kids at home alone. So he's hauling ass back home. So police get there, friends get there because word spread really freaking fast, and they're all trying to figure out what happened to Michelle. Well, the police go into the house, and here's the thing. This house is enormous. It's 10,000 square feet.
Oh, God. Like, okay.
Literally, it's five of my houses. A little bit more than five of my houses.
That is wild. But I was going to say, they had a freaking tech firm, like, of course they had a big house.
Right.
But holy shit. I feel like that's Heather DeBro's house.
You can tell that Donna's catching up on Real Housewives of Orange County. So when the police go through the house, they didn't find anything at first. But then they go into the basement. And in the basement is a bathroom. Not just laundry and demons. But unfortunately, when they go into this bathroom, they find Michelle. But here's the thing. This is kind of a lot. So if you need to skip, skip. Michelle was found hanging from a shower fixture by an extension cord.
What?
She was only 43 years old.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I think it's so weird that, like, the shower was on upstairs, but she was found in a bathroom
downstairs. Yeah. So the police immediately go to work to try to figure out, of course, did Michelle die by suicide? Because you can't just take things at face value. And they start noticing some things that actually kind of point to it might not have been a suicide. The first thing that they noticed was that the shower curtain was almost fully closed, meaning pulled apart. Because I have to preface that because, you know, one of the arguments my mom and I get in, what we call a shower curtain being open and closed. When I say closed, I mean the bathtub is closed off.
Me too.
When she says closed, she means like the shower curtain is pushed together.
And no, that's opening.
That's open.
Because you close the blinds by pulling them and closing off your window.
Right.
You open them by, you know, doing that. Or yeah. Curtains or whatever
yes.
You want to say.
Yes. Well, she says that, like, I think I said it wrong a second ago, but like whenever you open them up wide, stretch them out, my mom calls that opening and I call that closing. But the whole point of this is it was stretched closed. Like it was so closed you could almost barely even see Michelle. And so they're like, well, this is weird because in these final moments, like even if it was suicide, there would be some like thrashing around. Like she wouldn't just sit there completely still. So the fact that this shower curtain is like undisturbed is bizarre.
What if it was just really heavy though?
But it wasn't.
Okay. Got it. Just...
Then the other thing was her hair. They said that the hair was like inside the noose, which I didn't understand at first because I was like, well, I don't think if it was a suicide, like, because how they described it at first was like, let's just use a necktie for an example because this is pretty a lot to be talking about a noose. But, you know, if you go to put a necktie on, you know, your first instinct is to kind of flick your hair out, right?
Absolutely. That's a sensory thing.
For me too. But I don't know if that would be someone's natural instinct if they were trying to die by suicide. I don't know. But what they were talking about was her hair was more in her face, like almost like it was brushed down. But I think it was in the noose too. I don't know. It was weird. And maybe I'm making a mountain out of a molehill with that. But I feel like if that's one of the things that you're using to be like, this isn't a suicide, I don't know how I feel about that detail. You know, I'll tell you later when they make note of like her hair being in her face, which is why I think that was more what they were talking about, because they said it was almost like it had been combed there. Either way, the hair was kind of a making their spidey senses go off. But then there was the knot, because it was like a super fancy knot, a knot I've never even heard of, a double half hitch. And I know if I said that knot to Colby, he'd be like, oh yeah, this is how you do it. But Michelle's like me, and she didn't know shit about knots. So the police are like, I don't know that she would have known how to do this knot. Not that they're making a snap judgment about her abilities, but she couldn't do it.
Well, that wouldn't be her first instinct, that knot that you showed me, that's like a particular
right
one.
The big glaring thing was that she had blood on her sweatshirt. So they knew that there had been something that went on because of the blood on her sweatshirt.
Like she didn't have any cuts or anything that could have made the blood?
But why would she have cuts? And there was nothing that would have happened if she had died by suicide from a hanging that would have caused that blood. But another glaring thing for police was the bathroom, because there was no evidence, like none, like no fingerprints, no nothing, where it's like, okay, well, this has clearly been wiped down.
She has four little kids. And I mean, obviously she was in the shower and all of that, but like she has four kids. Even if she hadn't touched anything, but like, one thing, like their fingerprints would have been everywhere.
Exactly. And nothing I saw, like whether it was the On the Case with Paula Zahn or any of the other articles that I read, really said like how much time there was between them finding her body and the family really kind of understanding exactly what happened. Like, I feel like there was this time in limbo where the family didn't know if it was suicide or what. And I don't know, it just breaks my heart because I can't imagine just waiting to see what happened. Nick told his siblings that, hey, you know, mom died. And you know they had questions like, how'd she die? What happened? All the things. And everything at the beginning, at first, pointed to suicide. And so, I mean, that brings its own set of emotions. And then it's like, now they're kind of finding some other stuff. And it's like, I don't know. I just don't know at what point the family was kind of clued into the police's suspicions that this may not have been suicide.
Yeah.
And then also, what's worse? Right. Thinking that it's suicide or thinking, well, someone did this to her.
Right. Like, you definitely go through the range of emotions because, oh, God, I can't even imagine. Also, do you think the family waited for the police to get in before they went and, like, really looked around the house?
I'm not sure. But again, the house was so big. So yeah. Even if they did look around and they're like, yeah, we looked in, you know, all the bedrooms and she's not there, they may not have even thought to look in the basement, right. You know?
Yeah.
And so they may have just done like a quick look because they had the kids with them too. And they're like, okay, we can't find them. You call the police and I'm going to go to the school or whatever. Kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but the medical examiner confirms that this was in fact a homicide. So someone murdered Michelle and made it look like, or tried to make it look like, she had died by suicide. The medical examiner on the show was like, it really didn't take us long to kind of figure out, you know, there was some
foul play.
Yeah, because when they moved her bizarrely positioned hair, they could see that there was some like contusions and some stuff happening on her face.
Gosh.
So that's why I say I'm not really sure how long the family did or didn't know. Like, I don't know how long they were waiting because, like, if the police took her down, if they moved her hair, they may have seen it immediately and be like, oh, this isn't a suit. You know what I mean? So I don't know. And again, nothing in the articles or the show talked about that. But they could tell that she had been strangled and suffocated. The contusions on her neck were consistent with a finger, not the cord. And she had marks on her face and her mouth that showed that, like I said, someone had tried to smother her and like pushed her lips and stuff against her teeth.
Oh my God. I'm just, ugh.
That sounds so painful.
Yes.
I know this is like the most ridiculous comparison, but I think about like when you have braces and your lip gets like pushed against your brace, like how that hurts. And like people put the covering on, you know, and it's like, but this is like awful and incredibly forceful and
yeah,
not the same, but just think about how painful that is and then relate it to what Michelle actually went through.
Right. And I know you're probably going to say this, but like, was she trying to take a shower and she got attacked or something? Or maybe someone did that and then they were like playing a ruse and that was like a red herring,
I think. We'll get there. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Michelle's 9-year-old kid was like, hey, this bed's made up like real nice, super nice, but mom didn't do that. She made her bed up the same way every day, and this ain't it. Now, that was on the show. But in an article, I saw that a housekeeper said that she had made the bed up. So, don't know. But out on the show, that was out of the investigator's mouth. So, I'm going to go with Michelle's 9-year-old was like, check out this bed. Now, the police pull back the covers, and they see that on the fitted sheet and on the pillow, there's blood. Now, the housekeeper in the article said that when they made the bed up, they didn't see any blood. But they could tell that the pillow is clearly what was used to suffocate her because there was blood stains and smears that almost looked like a half of a face print.
Oh, fuck.
So then they look through the bedroom and they see that the closet door had like the bottom doorstop was broken off, like it had been like swung open really fast. And I'm thinking like, okay, so whoever it was hiding in the fucking closet and then swung it open really fast to be like, aha, you know?
Yeah. So now I'm like, God, someone was like laying in wait.
They also found some hair on the floor, like a clump of hair. And they send this all in for testing. They bring a cadaver dog in and the dog alerted at two different places. And that's what gives the detectives the kind of clear progression of what happened to Michelle. She was killed in her bedroom at her bed, because that's where the dog sat down and alerted to, was the end of her bed, and then was taken downstairs to the basement to make it look like she had died by suicide. And in the basement, that's the other place that the dog alerted to a body.
Where was her husband when all this was happening?
We'll get there. So the police are looking back at Michelle's night to see, like, okay, what did she do that night? Like, you know, what's going on? And they know that she had gone out with some friends to celebrate the fact that she had just qualified for the Boston Marathon. And she left the restaurant at 7:55. The kids had been with their dad, and Michelle's sister-in-law met Michelle to give the kids back to her at about 8. They got home, the kids brushed their teeth, said their prayers, read a book, did all the things, and went to bed about 9. And I'm like, damn, these kids are very well behaved. They did all that shit in an hour.
I can't get dressed in an hour, and I can't get undressed in an hour.
So this part was kind of cool. The police used the water meter to kind of figure out the shower situation.
Oh my God. Okay. Here's a little tangent thing. We watched that Nate Bergertsky or something. He's a comedian. He's like a family comedian or whatever. And he made me think about something I've never thought about before. What is one occupation that literally says what it does in the title? And it's a water meter reader. Like a surgeon could be a surgeon on a lot of things, right? But a water meter reader, like, what are you going to do? We're going to read some water meters.
It could just be a meter reader, and they could read what kind of meters.
Oh, whatever.
Well, there's so many types of meters on your house to be read.
Who goes around and reads any other meter?
No one in 2025.
But there are still.
I know, I'm just saying, though. It's like not, they don't have to come by and be like, okay, the Easterling West household used, last month they were at 3,000 gallons, and now they're at 35,000 gallons.
But they still have water meter readers. Oh my God, go ahead.
So the water meter reader came over, and they could tell that the shower started running at about 11:30 that night until 7:30 the next morning. So they're like, okay, was she getting a shower, and then she was attacked? Did the killer, like, turn it on as a way to kind of distract and confuse? And like you said a second ago, it seems like whoever did this maybe hid in the closet, or at least moved the closet door fast enough to damage the lever. And it's like, okay, but how the hell did they get into the house? Because there's no signs of forced entry. So it's like, well, who the fuck could have done this?
Also, where is the husband?
The police see cameras around, like, at the neighbor's house. And I'm like, we would be those neighbors. The police would be like, if anything happens in my vicinity, police are going to be like, knock, knock, knock. Can we borrow your camera footage? Because this shit, I've got every fucking angle of this house on camera.
Didn't y'all have something that y'all gave to the police?
No, we gave it to the neighbor because there was a hit and run on their mailbox.
Yeah.
And I gave it to the neighbors. And then the police found them. That they may have given it to the police, but the police didn't ask us. On the footage, they can see Michelle get home. And they, like, keep watching. And they're like, okay, well, no one else has come to the house. And keep in mind, you know, this part came from Paula Zahn as well. Like, I didn't see this part in any of the stories. So we're kind of in a little bit of a weird timeline here. Just know that we're probably not going exactly in chronological order, because I know you're dying to know about the husband over there.
I am. But what year is this?
2014.
Okay, thank you.
So the investigator's like, shit, I don't know. I can't. There's got to be something on this video, because it shows, like, every entrance and exit of Michelle's house so clearly. We're missing something. And he's at home and he's frustrated. And his wife is like the real MVP of the story and was like, bruh, back it up. They may have gotten there before she got home. And he's like, shit, you right.
That's what I was just thinking too, because if they did hide in the closet, they would have to be there before.
Well, yes, but he's thinking there's no forced entry, so they had to have maybe come in after she had gotten home and the door, like, was unlocked because she had just gotten home.
But then they're hiding in the closet while she's in bed asleep?
Well, they could have crept in there while she's
running. Who is she, Ace Ventura?
Well, listen, they could have crept in while she's getting the kids in bed, reading stories, doing prayers, and all the shit you gotta do for 4 motherfucking kids. And they just zippity-dooed up the steps. But that ain't what happened. So he backs it up And at 8:10, you can see someone jogging with their flashlight, kind of pause and turn into the driveway. And not 5 fucking minutes later, Michelle and the kids pull in. But from the footage, like, you could see the guy running with a jogging suit, baseball cap, flashlight.
Damn, he was cutting it real close to get in before her.
Well, then you see them leave at 12:31. That means that that motherfucker was in that house from 8 p.m. till 12 fucking 30.
Holy shit.
Okay, and not to, like, take away from the seriousness of this, but I 100% would have had to pee in that time. That is 4 motherfucking hours. There ain't no shot I could do something for 4 hours and not have to go pee. Like, is your adrenaline just pumping so much that you're, like, in fight or flight and, like, your system, like, takes away from your blood? You know what I mean? Like, when you're...
Well, if you were preparing to kill someone, you would wear a diaper or something.
I guess so.
Like, you saying you.
Yeah.
Normal people, no. Typical people don't have to go to the bathroom all the
time. Well, typical people don't have interstitial cystitis of their freaking bladder.
That's what I'm saying. So if you were like, ooh, I need to do it. Wasn't there, like, that astronaut or something?
Yes, drove all from Houston all the way to Florida nonstop to kill her boyfriend or ex-boyfriend, and she wore a diaper. Yeah. Actually, I think she wore, like, multiple diapers. Okay, so the police are digging into the personal life, and they find out that the reason that the kids had to call Braulio is because they were getting a divorce, and it was not good.
Oh, shit.
Their divorce was to be finalized the day she was murdered.
What?
So, not only that, she had an order of protection against him.
Oh, fuck.
So, he wasn't allowed in the house, which is why he had to call the neighbor, because he couldn't go in the house to check on it.
Oh, that makes sense now.
But he did buy a house only a couple of blocks away from this house.
So he could have jogged.
Running distance. Mm-hmm. We find out that there's been a ton of verbal abuse in this marriage. And after the separation, things got worse. He was super jealous, became more and more threatening. And at one point, she'd even told her friends, if something happened to her, it's him. I found this bit on him. They don't go into this on the Paul is On, but okay, when he was in high school, he went to the U.S. Military Academy Preparatory School. Very she, it sounds. This is in Jersey. Well, he had an injury. Some stuff says ankle, some stuff says knee, whatever. He had an injury, a football injury, while he was attending this school. Well, technically, students that attend this school are formally enlisted in the Army as invitational reservists. And basically, this school is supposed to be a funnel into West Point. Braulio ended up dropping out of that long-name school and goes to University of San Diego and was on the football team as a linebacker. Money begot money, because I don't understand how he did this, but in 2012, he bought Signet Computers. And this is, like, again, a tech firm, all the things, and he names it Strong Castle. But then there was some IRS controversy. He applied for and got veteran preference for a federal government contract for Strong Castle. And so everybody's like, he wasn't in the motherfucking armed forces. He is not a veteran. So some people were like, this is such bullshit, because it was like $500 million contract. And so, like, it was this whole thing, and it, like, went to this to the House Committee Oversight and Accountability. And this senator, her name is Tammy Duckworth. I got this on Wikipedia, I'm not going to lie, who herself is a veteran and paraplegic, is like, I'm so glad that you would be willing to play football in prep school again to protect this country. Because that's all he did. But basically, the rule is that while, like, if he had just graduated from there, he would not have been considered a veteran. But because he had an injury while there, he's considered a veteran because he got injured there. And they're like, cool, yeah, he got injured, but it says he or she becomes a veteran due to the service-connected disability. And so the committee people are like, this motherfucker had an ankle injury and then went on to play collegiate football.
Right.
Like, this isn't an ankle injury that was completely disabling to him. This right. motherfucker continued to play fucking collegiate football. I know I said the same thing, but that's the only, I mean,
yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me? So there's some drama on, like, technically he was eligible, but Strongcastle put its office in a disadvantaged neighborhood, air quotes, so that it could get HUB zone tax credits. Don't know what that is. I thought they miswrote HUD, which is like the housing urban development. I thought they miswrote that. But basically, it's these tax credits to put businesses in like disadvantaged neighborhoods to build up the commerce in that community. And that they had, like, investigators had gone multiple times to those offices and no one was ever there. So basically, he was like, cool, this is where our office is set up so that he could get all these tax credits, but that's not really where the office was set up. So he is a shady motherfucker. But he says, we've never received any improper preferential treatment and have competed fairly for every contract we have ever received.
I hate that everyone doesn't know this stuff, because I bet there's a lot of veterans that didn't know even about this thing that he got. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
There's a lot of places that are in disadvantaged neighborhoods that are given back to the neighborhood, doing all that, not getting those credits because no one's just going to give them to you.
Right. Right. That's the thing. It's like you have to have money to make money. Because we couldn't just buy this company, you know, and I mean, I don't know what I literally have no background information on how he got the money to be able to do that, or was it family money? Did he bust his ass and start a company? I don't know.
Yeah. It's always that thing. Like, it's who you know and what they know
exactly
to help you. Because even in high school, we didn't all know, like, the scholarships and mm-hmm. shit. And some people only knew, and so they got them.
Right. And it's like, I would have applied for that. I'd never even heard of that scholarship.
Yeah.
And somebody got a free ride their whole 4 years with living expenses. And I'm like, I've never even, like, to be able to stay in the dorm, I'm like, I've never even freaking heard of that.
Me either.
And it's like, why didn't you tell everybody that so that we could all have applied?
Yeah, that should be something that all seniors know. Here are all the scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Like, make right. the best person win. Like, you know, really give it to everyone. It's a level playing field. And then, you know, like, what your merits and stuff mm-hmm. that you've done count for you. But, like, it's not fair if he knew these technicalities, which are legal.
Right.
But not everyone else. You know, everyone else is paying the full fucking tax shit on their business, barely getting by, and he's not even using it.
But it's just one of those things that the rich get richer by knowing and being able to take advantage of loopholes while everyone else foots the bill because they are actually, like you said, paying those taxes. So anyway, that's our tangent for the thing. So we hate him. But the police go to interview him in his house, and they knock, 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 and he opens the door, and he's like, hey guys, really want to talk to you, but can't. My attorney says don't. And they're like, cool, cool, hate you, but that's your prerogative. And while they're there, they notice this motherfucker has a black eye and a scratch on his face and on his hand.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so they're like, yeah, I know you don't want to talk to us, but again, totally you're right, but give me your cell phone. Because they had a warrant for his phone. And when they get his phone, they hit pay dirt because they see that this motherfucker has been stalking Michelle. He had all the details of what Michelle was doing and when and with whom and all the things he had been telling her or had someone telling her. We don't know about that. For a freaking year.
Oh, telling her. You meant he had someone telling her.
No.
But it's tailing.
Yeah. A-I-L, yeah. Not E-L-L.
I was like, telling her what? Like,
telling her.
Yeah.
Tailing
her.
You would say those differently?
Yeah, literally. I just said it.
Well, he had someone tailing her for a freaking year. Ooh, I'm turning into my mother. But he had someone, however you say it, tailing, her for a whole year. And they learn that he's not only stalking her, but this motherfucker is an avid sailor and he knows a lot about knots.
Oh, shit.
So they ask Nick, the oldest son, they're like, hey, this investigator's wife had a really good idea and we backed it up and we've got some surveillance video. So can you watch this? And Nick watches it and he's like, motherfuck, that's my dad.
I just thought about it. I was like, if you were walking into something and like, I didn't know it was you, I could still tell it was you.
Yes, 100%. And he knew that because of his dad's old injury, which, to be fair, the Palazon thing said knee, but other things said the ankle. So that's why I was like, knee, ankle, unsure. But he had a little bit of a limp. And his son's like, I know exactly who that is. And now the police know exactly who it is, but they got to prove it. So they go back to the evidence. Remember, they had sent in the blood and the hair and all of that. Well, they get a warrant to get old boy's DNA. And it is a freaking match to the blood on her sweatshirt. But here's the thing. You could argue, oh, he lived in that house. He could have cut himself shaven, et cetera, et cetera,
no,
et cetera.
No, he didn't.
Well, at some point he did. But I know, just hold on. But
like, how fresh is it on her? Like,
I know. But here's the thing. On that sweatshirt, there, it had Michelle's blood and dipshit's blood and their blood combined. So the only way it would have combined is if this shit happened together. So it's like, you got it. Because, you know, a defense attorney is going to argue whatever they can argue to get their person off, right? But again, he wasn't even supposed to be in the house. And according to him and everyone in their lives, he hadn't been. He had been compliant with that order of protection and not been in the house. So literally the only way he could have gotten that blood on a shirt is if he was in the house and did it, you know? So the police arrest him and this goes to trial because, of course, he pleads guilty. And that means that the kids have to go through this trial. And more importantly, Nick, because he has to testify, that's who he saw on the footage. And another kid testified. This was not on the show. Their 11-year-old son said that at one point his dad had bribed him with gold, like a gold bar, to give him the code to the security alarm.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What in the Richie Rich is going on? If my dad said, here's a gold bar, I'd be like,
well, I think it was a coin, to be fair, but still.
Like, what in the Willy Wonka golden ticket?
Like, is there chocolate on the inside? Because that's the only gold I want. Just kidding. I want the real gold, but I'd buy chocolate with it.
Yeah, but not as a fucking kid and be like, what the fuck?
That's how you know you are rich as shit. But the kid, bless his fucking heart, didn't have any idea the nefarious reasons why this motherfucker wanted the code. He just was like, oh, he wants the code. Okay, give me the gold and it's 8565309 or whatever. Okay. 8675309.
Yeah, I was like, don't let Carrie set your alarm. Good God. So this is where I feel like you have to shelter your kids from things that's going on, but you also need to like let them know what's going on too. Because if he knew that like the dad had a restraining order, he can't come inside. Maybe it would have been.
I don't know. 11-year-old, your dad's telling you. I mean, I remember one time my dad asking me to do stuff that I was like.
But your mom didn't say, hey, if your dad comes and asks you to do this.
But she wouldn't have said, like, if your dad asks you to come, how to get in the house, don't tell him.
But she would have said, hey, you have to go see your dad over here because he's not allowed in the house.
Yeah, maybe. Well, and again, hindsight's 20/20. It's easy to say now when we know the situation.
Oh, and I'm not saying anything bad about that, but it's just like, you know, a lot of people, and again, I don't have kids.
Yeah, I feel like it's hard to say because you're also protecting them so that they're not so fucked up from this situation that where their dad is, because they may not have even seen some of the verbal abuse. You know, he may have done it all behind closed doors.
Yeah, but I just feel like you don't have to say all the things. But just let them know that, like, and things aren't kosher.
Well, and that could have been part of their agreement of you can't tell the kids stuff. You know, like,
there's
a lot of, it's too easy to just say you needed to tell them, you know. Yeah. There was an NBC Washington article that said that the prosecution had said that Braulio had smothered her with the pillow, had tried to do it as she slept, but then realized that one of the kids was in the bed.
Oh, fuck.
Woke the kid up and said, go to the other room.
Wait, the kid didn't say my dad was in the house?
Yes. The kid testified that, yes. So, but then I also saw one thing that said that, like, it didn't say that the kid was in the bed. I think this one was on Wikipedia. It may have been on another NBC article, but it said that the kid saw his dad bring his blanket into the room. So, unsure. But either way, one of the kids saw him and did testify that he had seen him in the house that night. That's why I say again, like some of this timeline and stuff, some of these like good details that were on the case with Paula's on that just, it's because you have investigators being interviewed that you just can't find other places. Like the timeline's murky. Like we don't know how fast they found out that information from the son versus when they went to try to interview him. You know what I mean? During the trial, all their shit comes out, obviously. And we know that he knew her routine and he knew that Michelle was picking the kids up from, I assume is his sister, because it was her sister-in-law, and that he lived just a couple of blocks away, so he was able to quickly run over there, literally, and he laid in wait. And that, for me, is one of the worst parts, that he waited until his fucking children were asleep, and he murdered his wife and their fucking mother, and then made it look like she took her own life. That would be, like, one of the most difficult, like, the two options in the story is like literally the most difficult things for kids to move on from. One, she either died by suicide, or two, their fucking father murdered her. Like, that's literally the worst of the worst of options. And like, fuck you for that. But now they fucking lost both parents because the jury finds him guilty. And even though he took the stand in his own defense, the jury was like, no. And it only took them 5 hours of deliberation to find him guilty. And keep in mind, this trial was 5 weeks long. It's a lot of evidence to go through. Like, you know, they were like, you want Jimmy John's for lunch? What you want? Like, maybe we should just like hang out for a minute, get some lunch.
Right.
I feel like they had to be there 5 hours because it was maybe if we do an hour for every week, let's just hang out for a minute and just chill and the air conditioner is nice in here and then we'll go give them the verdict. You know what I mean? Like 5 hours for a 5 week trial, they knew what they were going to, you know? So they found him guilty. He was sentenced to life plus 15 years. But look, that NBC Washington article, I love the shade because they said when he was sentenced, he was wearing orange. Michelle's favorite color, like, haha, she got the last laugh.
Oh,
like,
okay.
you know what I mean? Like, you're wearing her thing. And right now, like, I saw that the son, the oldest son, like, had to take a break from college. It was his best. I mean, his mom was his best friend. And one of Michelle's best friends is raising the younger 4 kids that they adopted them. And I did see that the kids had a wrongful death lawsuit against their dad, but I couldn't find anything about like it being resolved. But I did find one thing that said they weren't going to do anything about the wrongful death until all of his appeals were finished because he has tried appealing. So I don't know, but because I mean, they had to have had a lot of money. I mean, they had 2 houses that would have to be sold and, you know, clearly a lot of gold. So,
right.
I mean, hopefully the kids would be set up for life.
I'm sorry. I just pictured him like a magician, like at the defense thing. And like the jury's looking and he's like, puts a gold coin out of his mouth real quick. Just like,
right.
You know, pulled it out of his ear.
Well, but actually speaking of that, I did find this thing from like kingcampbell.com and it was a Supreme Court thing. And it was talking about how with the kids, like, should they be allowed to testify in the court? And like, there was some like back and forth about, you know, how with the minors, sometimes they'll video them and like use like CCTV.
Yeah.
So they don't have to be in the court. And like, there was a bunch with that too. So he wouldn't have been able to do the gold coin trick.
Well, to his kids.
True.
But to the jury, he could have been like, not guilty anyone. Pull it out of his ear. Do all, like, I don't know, but a gold coin?
I know. That's like the richest sentence I've ever said.
Right? Is that a gold bullion? Is that it? Or I feel like that might be, is that steak bullion? Gold?
There's bouillon cubes that you cook with.
Okay.
But there is like, ma'am, are you catching up on I Think Not With Me? Because they literally talked about this on an episode that I listened to yesterday.
No.
Because they were doing a scams show called Scam Goddess.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. I mean, I didn't listen to that, but I've listened to Scam Goddess.
Okay, that may be why you know that then, because these people were selling coins. They were selling like gold bullion, which is like special coins. Like think like the Trump coin.
Yeah.
But like actually worth something.
Well, I'm glad they got justice. Hate him. Hate that he put his kids through that. Like, I don't understand, like, what in the narcissistic asshole shit thing going on? You know what I mean? Like,
I feel like, too, I'm glad that I found that about his company because, I don't know, it just kind of paints a picture. He just is sleazy to me.
Yeah.
So, fuck him.
But also the fact that he was so just sure of himself that he was going to get away with this, he ran over to the house, got in right before she did. But also, here's the thing, too. He was waiting in the closet, but why didn't he see the kid sleeping with her?
I don't know. Maybe he wasn't in the closet. Maybe I think that there's some details we're never going to know because we don't know why he did the shower. We don't know why he, like, what happened in the closet. I think there's just going to be some that we don't know.
I wonder where the bathroom was that he was doing that to the shower. Like, maybe trying to make it where the kids couldn't hear easily.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Could be.
I just feel so bad for her. Like, she was trying to get out of this bad situation, protect her kids. She was about to do something monumental with her life that she'd been probably training for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Chris were watching a movie, and it was this guy who, like, killed so many people. He was, like, a hitman for the mafia, and it was a true story about him, and I'm just like, he wouldn't be that person if he was today.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying anything like, oh, people today, like, don't do the same things. They do, but I feel like the serial killers we've had and stuff, they weren't always like the smartest cookie because, mm-hmm. you know, they left behind shit that didn't exist as it does today.
Right.
You know, but like one time he like just followed someone out and slit their neck in the car and like kept going. And I'm like, there'd be so many street cameras mm-hmm. and stuff. And just like in this story, like the neighbor's Ring camera fucking got it. Like there are security cameras and it's like, you just, even with like the Idaho murders and stuff, there's so much evidence that people caught on neighbors' cameras and stuff. You could hear, okay, the dog started barking here, mm-hmm. you know, and just things like that. And it's like, it's, thank God it's a little bit harder.
Right.
Or a little bit easier to hopefully find who, you know, did some kind of nefarious shit.
Right.
Because I feel like Ted Bundy, like he would not have been what he was, like he would have wanted to. Don't get me wrong. He's a terrible person. But like, sometimes I just feel like he like alley-ooped his way through these murders. Mm-hmm. And like, well, I'm just going to jump out of this courthouse window and then I'm going to go and live my life for a few years down this way. You know what I mean? And
right.
It's like, I just feel like it wouldn't happen that way now. Again, not that anything got better, just technology, like advanced.
Yep.
Humans didn't. They're still shit.
Big facts. But yes. And I feel like people are less trusting and more like, this guy, I don't know about him, you know, than they were 40 years ago.
Right.
But because we live through people like them, you know, we learn from them.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
I mean, that's part of why people are so into true crime, because we learn like how to be more vigilant.
Absolutely. I think I even mentioned this because someone had asked a question at our live show. And I said, you know, I used to have that mentality of it wouldn't happen to me because I wouldn't be XYZ. And it's like, no, crime does not discriminate. You know, now the system can.
Yeah.
But crime doesn't. It doesn't matter. It could happen in your house. It could happen anywhere. It's not because, oh, you know, you were doing something, you know, considered bad or whatever. No, like you literally could just be living your life and shitty people are shitty people. But I really didn't know that. Like I grew up, you know, thinking that I was safe. All right. Well, now my story. Apparently, I am just obsessed with Savannah, Georgia right now. You know, I threw it out there as a potential location for the next event.
We've already gotten emails saying that's where they want it.
I mean, great minds think alike, y'all. But I don't know. I guess that's really it. But like, it's just been Savannah's on my mind. And so I'm going to do a story out of Savannah. It's about a bed and breakfast that we could, you know, potentially stay at if we stayed there. And it's called the Foley House Inn. It's an old bed and breakfast down in the historic district that was built in 1896 by a woman named Honoria Foley. And y'all, her name, if you look at it, looks to me like it would be Honoria. And so in my head, that's all I say. And I'm like, no, that is not how you say her name. Honoria Foley was the widow of an Irish immigrant named Owen Foley, and he was pretty wealthy, and they had opened their house to have different boarders in, but they lost their original home in the Great Fire of the late 1890s. And Owen passed away, not in the Great Fire, but like he did pass away. So Honoria built this new one, partly to run her boarding business and partly to live there and help house her family, because her son-in-law and his five kids lived there too, because Catherine, who was her daughter, had passed away. Now, the original house and this inn were among the first of its kind in Savannah. Also, where it's located is right beside the infamous bench that Mama always said that Forrest Gump, couldn't think of his name.
I just, you know, let you figure it out since you hate the movie.
It's a long ass movie.
It's one of the best of all time.
I know. So many people say that. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I don't think I've watched it all, but there's that. No one said I had good taste. Okay. But it's there. Like, so I just want to go to Savannah. It's so pretty. Didn't you think this stuff in Forrest Gump was pretty? Like, oh, yeah. So we should go there.
Well, to be fair, he was only, well, he was actually there most of the movie, but just on the bench. But you really didn't get to see much other than this bus, this one bus stop.
Well, but it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So the town itself is just steeped in tragedy and history. They had yellow fever outbreaks. Lots of battles were fought there. The Great Fire, they've had really bad storms there. And Savannah is often called one of the most haunted cities in America because death and suffering are embedded in so many blocks. It's not just the downtown district. It's everywhere in the city. It's a city like built on death. Even the Foley House sits right in the middle of all of that, on a block built over the ashes of that previous house they had and older graves. And why I say older graves is because back in the day, they would bury their families in their yards and stuff. And so, like, I don't know. Oh, that's just, ooh. Could you have, well.
Donna, how many of your parents are in your yard?
Yeah, you know, like, you saw me. I was like, could you, wait, well, you see what happened was. When I think of, like, having a little cemetery, though, that's like, I don't know. But then, you know, my mother's a tree. My father's in the closet. But, okay, here's what happened to Honoria, a.k.a. Honoria. So, in the late 1800s, she, you know, was bebopping her way around, making her own money, which was a huge thing. Because women really weren't entrepreneurs. Well, anything but a wife, really.
Right.
You know, and so she's single. She is rich. She has a house, you know, all the things. And so she caught a few people's eyes, but one male guest stayed there and he was like a wealthy merchant, or he like exported goods. I mean, is that the same thing? I don't know, because I'm not rich. I don't know those things.
What, you didn't get the gold coin from your dad?
No, mm-mm. He, you know, my dad would have gave me the bullion cube. But he got there and he was just like, oh my God. Like, I want to make her my wife. And like, in the Gaston of it all, he's like, she would be so lucky to have me too.
Oh my God.
And so he stayed around. And, you know, like, there were times where people wouldn't just stay a weekend. It would be like a boarder who would stay a long time. And that's what he became, is a long-term boarder. And then, you know, he had a crush on her. You know, he pursued her and she would turn him down. And he just kind of kept making those unwelcome advances, like pressing himself on her, you know, she's saying no, he would find ways to like force himself into like her personal space and yeah, stuff.
Fuck him.
And again, she persisted that she's not into it, you know? So one night she was sleeping and he slipped into her bedroom uninvited, which kind of reminds me of your fucking story.
Right.
But Honoria woke up and she grabbed the nearest heavy thing that she could in her like arm's length. So that would be nothing for me because I have short arms, but like she got a candlestick. And basically in the clue how the candlestick could be a murder weapon, it was here too. And she hit him over the head more than once, just kept going till he stopped making an advance on her.
Good for her.
But then that's when she noticed he's not doing anything. He's just laying on the floor. And she panicked. You know, like this guy who is now dead on her floor, what are they going to say? She's a woman. So, you know, being a business owner, being all of this, she was high on a lot of people's fuck you list.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the men are just waiting for something to take her down so they could get in and they would have the in and she would be in jail. So she's like, fuck, it doesn't matter what I say. They're going to not believe it was self-defense because they're going to say, why wouldn't someone want someone like him, you know, like a strapping young man who's rich, you know, like all that shit. Because we hear it still today. It's like,
well, what were you wearing? What did you do to cause his advances?
Right. And then also, like, if he is wealthy or whatever, they're like, he wouldn't have to rape anyone. He wouldn't have to do that. And it's like, it's not about that. Okay.
Exactly.
But like, so that's where she's thinking. And she's like, okay, I'm going to call a friend, phone a friend. And she did. And this friend came over. And I think this friend was kind of like a situationship kind of buddy who was also into her. So would do anything for her. And they did the whole Goodbye Earl thing from the Chicks. And they disposed of this guy's body. Well, they hid his body in one of the walls in the house because the friend was a carpenter.
Oh, and shit.
So it's like, well, we can't, like, take him outside right now because people are living here and shit. So it's like, what would make sense is they know I'm a carpenter. Like, I can redo something in the house, whatever, and it's fine. So they did. And from what people say, she either offered him free rent in exchange for that, or, like, again, I think he just was one of those people who were like, no, whatever you want, I'll do it. Like, to, you know, and also, like, this guy tried to rape me, tried to do whatever. I attacked him. Like, you're not going to be like, no, sorry. Like, no, you're going to help your fucking friend out.
Right.
Allegedly. You know what I mean? Allegedly. But, like, seriously, the whole Goodbye Earl of it all. No one ever found the body. No one was ever none the wiser. Honoria didn't marry her friend, but, like, they were still friends, nothing. Then, on her deathbed in 1914, Honoria confessed. And you know she had to be like, am I really dying? I'm really dying. Okay. Okay, okay, okay.
Right.
I killed someone. And they're like, okay. You know, because why would you have killed someone? Like, you know what I mean? Like, can you think of your grandmother being on the deathbed and being like, y'all, back in the day, I killed someone.
Right.
One, how did you live with this whole secret this whole time? You know, and all the things. So everyone just dismissed it. Like, oh, she's, you know, at her late stage. But I just feel she had waited and waited. And she was like, all right, this is it. Like, I'm just going to say it, clear my conscience. Is that how you say it?
No, fuck. Conscience.
Whatever. She said it right in her head, but she'd said it and then, you know, was waiting. Like, I might be arrested before I die. I might do this. And everyone's like, okay, Honora, good one. And she's like, no, really. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, seriously, no one ever even looked. They're just like, no, she didn't.
Wow.
So fast forward, she died in 1914. Fast forward to 1987.
Cool.
Yeah. And someone had bought the house, you know, doing renovations. They tore down an old wall to expand, and workers cracked one wall open and they found remains. They found a whole human skeleton. And I just want to be like, did it tumble out? Like, right. What happened? You know what I mean? Like, how did they wrap up the body, or what was it really like, you just go here?
And they had, like, to have wrapped it up because you would have smelled it.
Yeah. But also it was like 19 whatever. So everything stunk then, didn't it?
Not like that.
Now, it's almost a century later and no one can identify him because the remains were basically cremains now and shit, you know? Just bones. But everyone's like, shit, wait, she did say this. Because now you have to think about, it's like her fucking grandkids who are faced with this. You know what I mean? So it's like, wait, that's true?
Right.
And from that point on, the Foley House Inn became a magnet for weird experiences. Which at first I was like, okay. Like, of course, you found a body in the wall and now it's haunted. But then if you think about it, the body was finally found, unearthed. What happens when, like, people unearth a fucking sarcophagus?
Right.
You know, and we're like, don't open it because something might happen. And it's like, that's probably what happened. Like, the energy in the house was released at that moment. And there's been guests who have witnessed encounters, like Jerry, who stayed in 2008. She didn't know the history, but she do, like, Savannah, haunted as fuck. Yeah. Like, you know, but she didn't know, hey, there was a body in here, and, like, the whole story about that. But she came back one night late, walking up the front steps, and that's when she felt a shove. And she's like, the fuck, who just pushed me? You know, and it was like someone did, like, push her aside, like, I'm in a hurry, and pushed her. So she thought, like, okay, rude, maybe another guest or something. But then she realized that when she looked at the person who had pushed her, he didn't look like he should have. When he looked back at her, he had a pale face. He had dark, sunken-in eyes, and his mouth was, like, in a scowl. And she's like, oh, fuck. One, he looks like a zombie, or, you know, he's really hungover and he's about to puke and that's why he pushed me out of the way. But then he disappeared through the door without opening it. And so she was like, oh, fuck, what just happened? Because one, I felt him. Then I saw him and then he vanished. And so she was like, okay, I'm going to go inside and he's going to be there. And it's going to be like, oh, something had happened. But she went in. She didn't find anyone. Because no one could have gotten away that fast, and how did he get through the door like that?
Right.
He vanished like a fart in the wind. However, when Jerry was looking around, she did hear some heavy footsteps going up the stairs, but she couldn't see anyone who would be causing that sound. Now, the next morning, she asked, and the innkeeper told her that the spot that he had vanished, like, going up the stairs and then like the footsteps stopped. That's exactly where they found bones like 20 years earlier. And she's like, wait, what? And that's when she heard the whole story. And they're like, oh, shit, that might have been his spirit, like reliving something. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, there's also people who see a man in a top hat walking in the gardens. And this is so something that I would do. But the staff call him Wally because they're saying that it's the guy who they found in the wall.
So like, oh, God, that's Wally. Some shit you would do. That's
I know.
Awful.
I know, but they call him Wally. And people have felt cold spots in rooms. They hear the unexplained footsteps on the stairs. Guests have reported boxes or suitcases moved overnight. So there was this one guest who left a review on TripAdvisor, and it's from 17 years ago. I was like, holy fuck.
But that's like 2002.
I know. That's weird, right?
Yes.
But I was like, 17 years? Has TripAdvisor been around that long? But yeah, it has. We're all old. But it said
that, 2008. I'm sorry. Bad at math.
Well, I didn't bat an eye. I was like, yeah, that's true.
But that's even worse than 2002.
I know.
We were like in our professions.
I know. So the person who had put this, they said they stayed there for 4 days, the Easter weekend, and they loved it. It was quiet. And the first two nights they had room 204, the Stafford, which had a great balcony, and it looked down the square at the Forrest Gump bench. Now, because of the prior reservations, they had to move to room 205. At least they didn't have to move, like, way down the hall or anything. It's just like, boom, right there.
Wait, why did they have to move?
Like, prior reservations, it said. I don't know. They didn't write all the shit down up in this.
That's weird. Okay.
But no big deal. It was next door. And the staff even moved all their belongings while they were out during the day. But also, don't be touching my stuff unless I've, like, packed it up because...
They've probably done that already. Like, they probably packed it up.
I hope so. Okay. Well, they found out later that that was the personal room of Honoria when she was alive. On the inside wall next to the door was a portrait of Honoria. And the writer said, no matter where you were in the room, the eyes would follow you. Why are portraits so fucking freaky?
I don't know.
I don't like it. Because again, then I get fixated on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, can you see me over here? Can you see me over here? You know, nope. And I freak myself out. So they went to dinner the night that they had moved rooms. And when they went back to the room, they found that their hairbrush was laying on the bed. And they had left it in their shaving bag earlier. They're like, okay, well, that's weird. But maybe I just didn't think, you know, like, I don't remember. Fuck. So they tossed it back in the bag. Went out again because they had some tickets to like a theater that's across the square. Because again, Savannah sounds lovely. They have a square. You know, I love geometric shapes.
Okay. I thought you just really wanted to live your inner Golden Girls. Nope. Gilmore Girls.
Oh, yeah. I could really use some of their coffee, but they just drank it black, didn't they?
I think so.
Yeah, I can't do that. Anyway. So they return about 10:30 that night, and the hairbrush was again laying in the center of the bed. And they're like, okay, someone had to be doing this. Like, it's a staff, you know, like, whatever. Okay, weird. But so she mentioned it to the hostess on dinner, and they were like, nah, I'm the only one here, and I'm, like, fucking working, so I'm not playing with your hairbrush. So the next morning, they left for some sightseeing, and they did some fucking shit my dad would do. They placed the brush in their bag, locked the bag in their luggage, tied a special purple thread that they use at work around the handles of the luggage. Like, there was no way you could unlock the luggage without breaking the string.
That is 1,000% some shit your dad would do.
Absolutely. But of course, you know where this is going. When they returned late that afternoon, the brush was back on the bed. But the luggage was not disturbed. So how could you have done that? Like, a human could not have done that. Which I also don't understand how a ghost does that, but I don't know all the ghost physics. You know what I mean? And so they were like, all right, there has to be an explanation. And there was a housekeeper in the, like, on the floor that they saw. And so they walked over and they were like, hey, have you ever heard of this? Like, is this a thing, you know? And she was like, no, which room are you staying in? And they told her, and she said, oh, that's just Miss Foley's room. And sometimes things like that happen. And they ended it by saying, like, they never felt scared or threatened. It was just weird and, like, unexplainable. Now, there's also a ghost of a little girl, and she doesn't really do anything. Besides, when it's really quiet, she'll scream in the parlor. It's like she's playing, but then she just suddenly shrieks. Which, no thank you. Please don't be loud. Others have heard whispers or voices on EVPs. They've had someone say, who told? And then there was another phrase that they got on an EVP that said, I need another ship's brick, which is the material that was used to make the wall, like from back in the day. So it kind of makes sense, like why it would be saying that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these people don't think anything harmful is here. You know, they think it's residual energy and, you know, maybe the guy who's like a nameless John Doe who was in the wall is restless. You know, he's angry, but he's not like really disturbing the guest. It's just that kind of feeling that you get in that area. You might get a little pushed or shoved or however she said going up the stairs, but not shoved down them. That's important. Now, how we went on our ghost tour, like the true crime ghost tour in mm-hmm. New Orleans, there's several ghost tours that go by the Foley House Inn. So even if we don't stay there, if we go do another tour,
mm-hmm.
we will definitely hear more about it. And this is in Chippewa Square. I think that's how you say it. So if you are close to Savannah, if you want to stay, please let us know if you have a hairbrush that makes its way onto the bed. You know, if you booby trap it like my dad would do, let us know. It's not a scary thing. It's still running as a B&B. You know, people kind of like book it because they want to experience that. You know, they want to meet Wally, the ghost, or hear that little girl scream.
First of all, his name, horrible. Second of all, I don't want to hear a little girl scream. No, thank
that
you.
That would terrify me. Also, I would think it was just Carrie. Well, be like, oh, Colby scared her again.
Yes, not as much terrifying as fucking annoying.
That's very true. So I'll end with a poem by Vanessa K. Eccles, and it's about the house. There once was a house with a secret inside that a woman thought best to hide. She had a life to live and children to raise. And self-defense was rare in those days. So she made a grave behind a wall and crafted a story to tell all. And she kept her secret, lips tightly sewn, until one day someone uncovered his bones.
Well, that was cool. She's a poet. She knew it, though.
Yeah, she didn't know it. But I was like, okay, well, you summed up the whole fucking story in that little poem there.
I know. God, couldn't you just done that? We'd have saved 45 fucking minutes,
Damn.
Donna.
Damn. So have I made you want to go to Savannah?
I mean, I'd be down.
You heard it here. Next week, I'll be like, ooh, we should go to St. Augustine.
That'd be a good one, too.
But I feel like that'd be hotter. And if you have to walk up the lighthouse, I'd be like, they'd be like, ma'am, we can't hear anything on the EVPs besides you breathing. Be like, yeah, that's what Carrie says when we record. I can hear you breathing. Move back. Okay, fine. Fuck.
They would like think it's like, wow, we've never heard this ghost before. Oh, it's Donna.
It's like, you know, when you send a cute video of like your dog doing something, but then you forget that the sound was on and you send it and then all you hear is
yes, especially if you're looking down.
Yeah. Well, and like squatting to be close to the dog, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, hopefully y'all enjoying these stories.
I know mine had murder in it, but it was totally different and a lot more lighthearted than yours.
Yeah, we needed that.
Yeah.
Well, thank y'all so much for listening and supporting us. Don't forget to like, subscribe, review, all the things. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.